Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of A to Z, you guys. My name is Zero Remsen. I'll be your resident Yang. Below me or above me, depending on where I edit, is Aaron Chase. He'll be your resident Yin. For those of you who have never seen this podcast, even though for some reason you're starting on episode 27 or 8, I can't remember which one this is at this point, but hey, hello. We appreciate you watching regardless of how you found us. But just to give you a real quick breakdown, again, I represent the naive, the airy fairy, the rainbow colored glasses, the happy blinders, all that stuff of the world. And Aaron represents the realistic, the pessimistic, the actual, the experience. And between the two of us, our mindsets are very similar, but also very different. Like, we're a very classic version of the nature nurture argument. And so we came together, decided to make this podcast, both to explore ourselves and how I could become more realistic and Aaron could be more positive. And today we're also both comics. that's a lot of what it is, as well as we're stand-up comedians, and so we need to put our thoughts into the universe somewhere else in the middle of all this stuff that's going on today. What we have on the docket, if you did watch the last episode, we mentioned near the end that we would do an episode where we go through Aaron's old jokes, and I'm going to say some of mine too. I'm not just going to leave them out there hanging to dry, but we're going to do a past to the present, where he was going to where he is now. He has several notebooks, apparently. I'm very fascinated to see where that starts and stops. So I guess we'll get into which one's the earliest notebook? Do you know?
I don't know. Let's see.
Also, can you show us what they look like? Like, what is, because in my mind, like, I don't write that much because I write tiny. Okay, so there's a lot of space between jokes.
So these are titles of jokes. Like, this was probably right before quarantine. This is the type of stuff I did.
Okay, so that one closer to the end.
Yeah,
I want to see the earliest iteration.
Fuck.
I find the one that's the most beat up.
This one's 2018.
That's pretty early. When did you start comedy?
Consistently about 2016, 2017.
Okay.
Oh, this doesn't, there's like nothing in here. All right. I remember this is 2019.
Okay. So you have your notes just spread everywhere.
Like, yeah. All over the place. Some of them are totally filled to the brim, and others, okay, it looked like I started it and then I got annoyed with myself and I gave up comedy and came back or something.
Interesting.
All right, so like this is okay. Here's when I was. I don't know if you remember this. When I was on a death kick.
No, I don't remember the death kick.
I was just talking about death a lot. I was trying to see what I can bring out of that. And so like, let's see. Yeah, talk about death and the... Okay, kids, death, finality. Let's see. When I was a kid, I didn't understand finality. I thought that I was going to eat pizza Pringles and play with my Tamagotchis forever. And then one day I got called sir at the grocery store. And that's where it ends there. And
okay.
Already, like, as in the way I think about it now, I could probably do a lot with that. But at the time,
that was another part of this. Is I was, again, it's the back what you used to be to now. And the question that I asked last time was like, do you still see like value in these besides the obvious value of like you learned from them? But could you see taking these jokes and doing them in the voice you do now, or are you so far separated from who you used to be that they just you can't?
I could take something like that and mold it into who I am now, and I think I could actually make it pretty good. But it's not where my headspace, like I know what I believe when it comes to that, but it's just not where my headspace is. I wouldn't enjoy talking about it.
Okay.
But it could, I could, it's weird reading it. I can. All right. My opinion, okay. WNBA.
Oh, okay.
I've accepted that my opinion isn't worth much.
Okay.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Okay. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Oh, okay. So I've accepted. So I
now I get what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I would write in like ideas. And I would understand, you know.
That's exactly how my notes work. And sometimes I go back and I'm like, what was I saying?
Yeah.
What do I mean?
I'm going to clean this up a bit as I read it.
Okay.
All right. I've accepted my opinion isn't worth that much.
No, no. Read it as it is on the paper and then clean it up.
Jesus Christ.
What is in note form? This is important for the people.
Well, can I do the... I'm going to do it first and then I'll read it because it's going to fuck it up.
Okay, fine, fine. Do the joke cleanly and then read it as it is on the paper.
All right, so I've accepted that my opinion isn't worth much. Like, there's people whose opinions were important, like Neil deGrasse Tyson or, like, Serena Williams. My opinion is like the WNBA. It's just completely insignificant.
Okay.
That's the idea. And then what I wrote...
I get the premise.
Yeah, what I wrote literally was, I've accepted that my opinion isn't worth much. Neil deGrasse Tyson, that gets respect, like Serena Williams. My opinion is like the WNBA, it's insignificant.
Got it. Okay.
This is more worked out. And a lot of this, the reason there's so many is because I reword and I keep, like, I'll cross it out and then I'll add more to it and I'll fix it. So it's not like, what's up?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, like, so you, like, when you're deciding to, I guess, revamp it, or you're done with whatever version is on the page, you, like, fully mark out the page.
Yeah, that's what I do now. So I'll write out ideas, or I'll write stuff out, and then when the page is full, I'll relook at it, I'll rewrite it, and it'll be a little cleaner, and then I'll X out that page. And then I'll add more, I'll rewrite it, it'll be a little cleaner, and then I'll X out that page. And then it just builds. Okay.
So you prefer the actual pencil, pen to paper than you do the digital?
What do you mean?
Like, because I do all mine on Notepad. Like, I write out all my bits on Notepad.
Yeah, I'm analog, man. I'm like a soldier from World War II. Like, What?
I was just gonna say, is it just easier for your brain? Like, what is it about it?
I think it's easier for my brain. I like things that are tangible. And I think it's easier to remember when you physically write it down. And it also, I'm not good with, like, organizing my technology, so it won't get lost, it won't get deleted by accident.
That's the opposite. Like, I don't do paper because I'm like, I'll lose the piece of paper. Like, the thing is, like, because first of all, I'm not walking around with a notebook. So things just, like, hit me sometimes. That's pretty much how most of my jokes come to me, is like, I'm just here. Okay, I'll put this in my notes, and I'll just write a real quick scribble, and then I'll save it. It's in my pocket. I don't think about it until I need to re-look at it. But, like, for a notepad, for me personally, like, to start carrying it around is one thing. Then to not lose it is asking a whole lot of me. And then I'm like, okay. And then also the way that I write it's not the most legible sometimes. Like, I write super tiny. It was always a thing since I was in elementary school. I just thought it was cool to write small because I could fit more words on the paper.
Nice. But we all know how cool it was to be able to write a lot on paper as a kid.
Yeah, you got to smudge them in. Yeah. I was economical about the environment before it was a thing.
I don't bring my notebook around me anymore. When I come up with an idea randomly, I just put it in my notes. Then I sit down and I write it. And then once it's written, then I delete it from my notes so it doesn't get cluttered.
Okay. Okay. Back to the thing. So was that the Neil deGrasse Tyson and the WNBA and the other one? Those are the furthest back that you could find as of right now?
Yeah, as of right now. I'll look more. It's weird because – okay. I'm just going to look at the titles and see if I can remember one of the jokes.
Yeah, just like run us through the titles. I'd be just interested to hear like a menu, a grocery list of premises. Okay.
Here's what a set, like, this is a probably round when I could do, just out of material, I could probably do about 30 minutes. You ready?
Okay.
So marriage. Here are all the little jokes under marriage. AOL dial-up, God wants you to be Maris, promise to be together forever, paperwork, happy wife, happy life, face tattoo, 1933, no issue, black eye, Valentine's Day, traditional Jenga. I remember the concept of all of that.
Black eye?
Yeah, the idea being that that in 1933, you could give, that's what it was. It was like is like, the marriage isn't about love. In 1933, you could give your wife a black eye and a Valentine's Day gift or some shit like that. Like, you could beat your wife. There's no real option. No, it's not exactly a choice back then. Mm-hmm. But weird thing we have where you picture these old black and white Gone with the Wind movies and like some woman's in a dress on a hill kissing a dude. It's like, no, this guy's beating the shit out of her and she has nowhere to go because she can't get a job and pay for things for herself.
Okay.
Childhood. I'm sure you remember the joke.
Wait, hold on. Would the whole list under marriage be a 30 minute, or are these different ones within the 30 minutes?
These are just jokes and within the marriage bit. Once I read all of this, it would be about 30 minutes of material.
Got it. Okay, got it.
So next, childhood. Cooties, spankings, girls are icky, Lola Bunny, youth and love, orange, Romeo and Juliet.
I remember this set.
Yeah.
You lose me at Romeo and Juliet, but kids, everything else in this set, I very much remember.
Kids trust adults, Harvard versus DeVry, borrow a bike, mom's grave. I don't know what that is. Trust is
flat. Mom's grave?
I was probably getting this. I don't know. Whatever. Trust is fragile. Truth or dare. Fear factor. Truth or dare. Compound fracture. Bar versus saloon.
I'm just a bar versus saloon.
I basically said that kids are really... How does it go? Fuck, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's stupid. Then probably wrong. This was me acknowledging what?
I'm just loving the titles of these like chunks of bits. It's like, okay, childhood, totally understandable. Marriage, totally understandable. Probably wrong. It's like it starts to get Jeopardy-esque.
It's Fresh Prince, Learn Something, BDSM, Word 15, I don't know what that means. Mom Mistake. Right, wrong, Frosty. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
Is this Frosty the snowman or Frosty the drink?
The Wendy's drink. I think what I was getting at was that people that dip their French fries in Frosties are wrong.
Ah, okay.
Then this is when I gave
a... I said that's a hot take.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm intelligent with my comedy.
Pushing the envelope.
Then this is where I gave a fuck about like dating and girls and shit.
Did you organize these to be in this order when you thought of it in 30 minutes?
No.
I find it interesting that dating is so far away from marriage.
No. I could have, what I did was, and I still write this way, these are all interchangeable. So they're in chunk form. Like, if I wanted to say marriage, all right, well, I could do everything under marriage. But I can mix marriage and childhood, and I can make it go back and forth. I could do all of these in any order I wanted to do.
Right.
Nothing was completely connected to the other thing. It's weird. Like, I just don't even – I know how I was thinking when I wrote that way. I just don't think that way anymore.
Okay. Would you use those same titles under, or what would your titles be now? Or are they just still childhood, marriage, wrong?
Yeah, I mean, if the topic is marriage, I'm just going to write marriage. I would probably keep it the same. It's just
legitimately what you're working on now. So now we're transitioning from the past to what you've currently been on. What's your tip? What are the titles of those tips?
Fuck. I wish I had my notebook on because I have it written in the phone, the set list. Let's see. Isn't it weird how you say this shit every day?
Yeah. Well, okay. So what is 3 a.m.'s Denny energy under?
Oh, that's just what it is. 3 a.m. Denny's energy.
Okay. What is office... You can't work in an office.
Day job.
I'm running through your stuff in my head real fast.
What else have I been talking about? Father figures.
Father figures.
I just say father figures.
Father figures.
Okay. Yeah.
And then
relationship, current relationship stuff.
Guns.
I was going to start writing about that. I think I'm going to start writing about deaf people.
Deaf people? Like the sign language deaf people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone's always like, oh, but you should fucking talk about that on stage. And they don't understand. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say nice things. That's what they don't like. In fact, my whole thing about deaf people, I think I'm going to say, is completely tear down people's perceptions of people with disability and explain that people with disabilities have a tendency to be fucking assholes because you guys get so...
And he's out. We're doing so good, you guys. We went 19 minutes, and I think his phone did that thing his phone does where it overheats. I'm going to, again, hope like I usually do that he'll be back. Hi, we're doing the podcast thing, but Aaron's thing is glitching out right now a little bit. So I'm going to hold out hope for like 30 more seconds that he just pops right back in. He was explaining how he's working on some bits. Oh, he left. Okay, so we'll wait until he joins back. So it's just me again. Hey, guys, don't you guys appreciate your 0-0 me one-on-one time? Because I think you do. I imagine you do. I need you to like it. Let's see. I should probably eventually get to talking about like what I'm working on. I'll get it when he comes back in. This is the hard thing about doing the thing when he's gone and I'm on my own. I could obviously talk for hours on my own, but it's trying to keep it just enough tangentially related that when he comes back, it's not like I'm completely dropping a thing that I was talking about with you guys and that we could easily flow back into whatever me and him were talking about before he left. Okay. Is he back? Or is that me? Yep, he's back. Okay. See, I was having a good time making them think. Overheat?
Yeah.
I figured. But you were saying?
We're talking about deaf people. Yeah, so it's what part of me is concerned about it because it is my job and I don't feel like having problems. But at the same time, it is something that I've been trying to branch out from the topics that I talk about mostly. Like, I want to just branch out a little more, expand my horizons. And the whole deaf thing is something I know about. It's unique. You're never going to hear that from other comics. But it's like, as soon as I bring up that I'm an interpreter, the reaction's always way more excited about that than it is stand-up. And that annoys me. Because stand-up comedy is more interesting. It's more interesting, it's more entertaining, it's more enjoyable, and it's less fucked up.
Right, but that's what, and that's funny because the perception, exactly how you're saying it, is that if you're an interpreter, especially for people with disabilities, there's a certain level of like, the thing about our jobs, right, as stand-up comedians is like our whole thing is the illusion of making it seem easy, making it seem like we don't do anything. Like it's just you get up there and then you be funny, right? That's the idea. The problem is because we make it look like that, because we work that hard to make it look like that and they buy the illusion, there's like a lack of respect for it as an art form. It's one of the only entertainment forms that really gets kind of like spit on in a certain regard. Like people don't go to theater plays and then I could be an actor. Oh, I could sing if I wanted to sing, but like they'll do that with comedy. But with being an interpreter, it's not even a low barrier of entry thing. It's like, it just feels like something that's giving back, you know, like because you're helping people. It's like, it's one of those.
Just so you know, that is the biggest fucking pet peeve for interpreters and deaf people.
Really?
Yep. Because, sorry, I'm already getting angry about it. Like you doing something wrong.
I have the perception, I guess.
Because one, as the interpreter, you're not there for the deaf person. Like if I were to say, yeah, I interpret at the UN, I speak French and English. You wouldn't say, oh, you're there for the French person. No, you're there so these people can talk. The interpretation people have of it is that, like, oh, you're there to help the deaf person. No, bitch. I'm here so that you guys can talk. When you say make it all about the deaf person, what you're saying is I'm here to help them. And it's like, no, I'm helping you too. You're not. It's like when white people think that they're the norm because of movies, because they're the only ones in movies for so long. Mm. Is that they, like, when a black dude pops up, it's like, that's, oh, we're helping them. It's the same concept of, like, no, this is between you two. I have nothing to do with this. And the second thing is, like, the helping thing is so condescending, because I'm not. I'm just saying what you're saying and saying what you're saying. That's it. And when you, does that make sense?
Not really, but I'm sure you'll break it down.
What part of it, why do you view it as me helping deaf people?
Because in the same way a translator app helps me understand them, it's like, that's nice that I don't have to learn a whole new language to communicate with them. You're making it way easier to communicate with somebody who otherwise I couldn't communicate with. You are the device that I'm using to communicate with them.
Why am I not helping you then? Why am I helping deaf people?
No, you're helping me communicate with them and
vice versa. Okay. Sorry. That's worded.
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. I get what you're saying. Absolutely. Right. Like 100%. There's definitely
now help the dumb understand me.
Like I totally understand that perception. And I do think there is a good section of the population. Obviously ableism has only become a part of the lingo recently, but it's been pervasive for a long time. I mean, all the stuff, neither here nor there. It's for me personally, and this is just me speaking here, is like, yeah, I don't view it as you helping them. I view it as you helping both of us. Like, mm-hmm. like Google Translate. Like, right. I appreciate whoever created Google Translate. I wish it was better. I wish it, like, actually could do it, like, lightning fast. But, like,
they don't get that. It
can't right now, so, yeah.
Most people don't look at it that way or don't word it that way. Most people view it as, I'm helping deaf people. And I understand why they're saying that, because deaf people are, like, a tenth of the population, whatever. Right. But it's, like, it's frustrating because deaf people generally are so fucking ignorant, like so racist and sexist and homophobic. Here's a joke I was actually working on. You ready?
Okay.
So I'm an interpreter for American Sign Language. I interpret in American Sign Language, right? And people think that people with disabilities are great, but that's not the case. There's two signs for the word nigger in ASL. They didn't need two. That was unnecessary, and right. So on and so forth. They're racist as fuck, and they're ignorant as fuck.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and
what do you think that link is?
It's because.
Oh, go ahead. I asked you, and then started to give a breakdown, but you would know more. So
I'm curious. I'm curious what your assumption is, and I'll explain why afterwards.
Okay, my assumption. Okay, why would a deaf person be ignorant? Because since people are kind of, for lack of a better term, babying them, because it's like you're an innocent. You can do no wrong because you're handicapped. Nobody takes the time to correct those things. And so they're just allowed to have horrible mentalities because it's like, it's fine. They're broken anyway, is what I would assume. But that's my best.
That's part of it. So part of it is the babying and the lack of challenging belief systems. So like, imagine you had do you have a dumb belief you had when you were like 13?
Yes. And some of them that are still very questionable. Let's see. What's the dumbest thing that I believe? When I was really young, I used to think that my knuckles were Wolverine claws, and the only difference between me and him was that he squeezed his hands hard enough, and then if I just like balled, they would come out. They never did. Okay.
Imagine you held that belief.
Okay.
Let's take it a little less silly, because if that's really
Okay.
Is there like an actual like ignorant belief you had?
Okay, ignorant. I thought that girls didn't like sex.
Perfect. That's a good. Ooh, that's a really good one. Actually, that I've actually seen within the deaf community. So, okay. Girls don't like sex, right?
Okay.
Imagine nobody ever challenged that. Nobody okay. ever, and you didn't talk to enough people to see other perspectives. So, girls don't like sex. You hold that forever. You go in your 50s and your 60s and your 70s believing that. You have kids. Then you teach those kids that. Those kids have the same, and it's just this cycle. So, like, yeah. Part of it is the babying. Part of it is that you just don't have the ability to take in information in the same way. Like, you'd be surprised how much, what is it? Not subtext. Subconscious information you take in because you hear things. You're just hearing, you're a sponge when you're a kid. You're taking in all of this information. And when you're deaf, a good portion of that is just blocked off. You're just not hearing things.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that. And it's because would it be fair to say racism comes from ignorance?
Oh, absolutely.
Who the fuck?
Ignorance and inexperience. I know those things kind of get like foggy because yeah. they're right next door. But I would say you can be very well read and well versed in Black people. Like you could study them, but until you're like with them and like experience them, then you don't really get it or know. Right. And there's a certain limit to that too. But like it balance. But go ahead.
It's like that. Imagine ignorance. Like ignorance comes from lack of experience. All of the experiences that you're missing because you're not hearing the information and because nobody's talking to you. So like I've been an interpreter in schools, right? K-12. Now school is hard as it is socially, like just bare basic school. Now imagine you're 13 and you have a grown man following you around school. You can't talk to people in the same way. Like the only way you can communicate is if a grown man or woman is there, an adult. And so you don't get the gossip, you don't get the secrets, you don't get the personal whatever. Mm-hmm. People don't talk directly to you. They talk to the interpreter and they tell the interpreter to tell the deaf person this. It's mm-hmm. and it's like just thing after thing.
Do they ever edit towards you? Like as they're telling you what to say, both sides. As a deaf person telling you what to say, or as a person who's like using their voice, does anybody ever say, "Here's what I'm saying, but don't say this part"?
All the time, and it is first off, it's insulting. It's really fucking insulting usually to the deaf person. I'm gonna give this to the deaf person because the privilege, for lack of a better word, is stacked against them. So when a person's like, "Don't tell them this," I'm like, "Fair enough. I get fair enough." When a hearing person's like, "Don't tell them this," fuck you, dude. You get to hear shit all the fuck you. Just don't say it then. Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Okay. Right. Because that is a weird dynamic to pull to go to another person and be like, "Hey, be a piece of trash with me," and like don't tell them this thing.
I've been in doctor's appointments all the time. All the time I'm interpreting back and forth like I'm supposed to be doing. And then the doctor says, "Don't tell them this," and then starts talking. And first off, I do it regardless because fuck them. And that's my job. That's like morally and ethically, you could get me fired for that, you piece of shit.
Right.
The second thing, and what they do is they say, "Oh, I told you not to tell them that." And I say, "Whoa, I told you not to tell them that." And the deaf person says, "Tell me what?" And then a big whole thing happens because fuck them. But the second thing is you're still moving your mouth. So the deaf person can fucking see you.
I can't just. That's funny in there. That's built in. I mean, don't get wrong. Do your art however you're going to do your art. But there is something funny about like, he can still see you. Like, I'm just supposed to sit here and go, "Oh, he didn't say anything."
You would be blown. Do you know how many times, Zero, someone has said to me, so do you read Braille? Why the fuck would I know Braille?
What would that do for your interpretation?
I don't know. People are so stupid. I don't know. Why? If anything, it is the...
The only way. But then it wouldn't... That's not Braille. That's... I don't know what that is. But if you needed to... Yeah, you could just write it. Because they can still read.
No, they can't.
They can't read?
So, there's more. There's more, Zero. Get ready. Get ready. This is why I don't want to talk about deaf people on stage, is because it makes me angry, and because then the only thing people talk to me about afterwards is deaf people and sign language. Yeah. Don't give a shit about it. Not that I don't give a shit, but, like, it really frustrates me.
Yeah, I get you.
But, okay, another ignorant thing, and then what was I going to say about before Braille?
Were we going to move off of the deaf people thing, how ignorant it is, how they got ignorant,
here's hearing people and their fucking stupidity. You ready?
Okay.
People will say to me all the time, I say things like, I wish I knew Spanish, or I'm working on Spanish so that I can go across the world and communicate with more people. And they're like, you can just do American Sign Language, right? Anywhere. And I'm like, well, it's called American Sign Language.
They would also have to know American Sign Language, right?
Right. Like that. There's Mexican Sign Language, there's British Sign Language, Chinese Sign Language, Japanese Sign Language. And then the response I get to that all the time is, that's stupid. Why don't they all just do the same sign language? And it's like, all right, fucking idiot. Imagine aliens came down to Earth and were like, all of you speak Russian. Why are you all doing these different languages? It's like language is you don't go into a classroom on a whiteboard and say, all right, here's the word for chair. Like, it naturally comes out. Like, it's a natural thing.
We also, that's the one of the beauties of the world, personally, obviously rose-colored glasses here. This is the yang in me. One of the more beautiful things about the world is that, like, cultures are different. We have different words for different things. There are some words, and it's one of the things that fascinate me. There's a word for this thing that I'm about to describe, but I can't even remember it, that other languages have a word to describe something that certain languages don't have. Like, there's words in Japanese that are like, there isn't a word for that, but there's the general feeling, and I'm like, I love those. I love things.
That's another thing that's annoying about knowing a second language, is people say, how do you say fucking this word? And it's like, it doesn't translate. I can't just, if you said, if you said to me, how do you say shaman in sign language? It's like, well, there's no word for that. I would have to explain it and put in context. It's not that simple. Deaf people not being able to read. Get ready, Zero. Get fucking ready.
Okay.
About 90 to 95% of hearing parents, meaning people that can hear, that have deaf children, do not learn sign language. I'm not exaggerating. What? Kids? They don't. Here's what they do. Sorry, I'm especially riled up because I was dealing with this shit today. I deal with it every single day. I mostly work...
Little side tangent. Keep your thought. Don't lose it. Okay. It's also very interesting to me. And I know, because you've talked about this before, where you're like, it may seem like I care, but I don't really care, but I do, but I don't.
I care,
Pass on over it. At the same time, it's fascinating to see you passionate about a thing that isn't, like, directly you. Like, it is you, but it isn't you. Like, on some levels, there's, like, the innate child neglect that was also a part of your childhood. On the other level, like, it's not you how much, like, Black Lives Matter is you, or how much, like, all the other, like, government, string-tying, rich people, white, whatever, like, all that is you. So it's interesting to see, like, that much, like, you get literally, like, you're mad about it. Like, you get... it upsets you, both because to be fair, it is also just annoying to deal with at your job. Like, I'm not passionate about being a delivery person, but there are things that happen on my job that are upsetting.
Imagine the emotional toll. Like, imagine, especially being someone like me with my background, and you're watching kids slowly just trot on over to their like destruction, and it can be stopped. I'm in a position, I can't say too much. That's the other thing about doing it on stage. Like, there's a confidentiality thing. I can't say much, but what I can say is I'm dealing with a kid that is younger right now, who is at the age of like, this can be fixed. If everyone gets together, works on this, this kid's not going to go down the track that I already know they're going to go down. And I'm seeing the emotional issues coming up. I'm seeing the outbursts. I'm seeing bullshit. And I can't do anything about it. I just have to interpret and watch the amount of pedophiles I've had to interpret for Zero. And just
whoa, we took a big jump there. What?
So, okay, remind me to tell you about the pedophile stuff, and I'll get to the reading and writing stuff. So,
yeah, I'm not going to forget the pedophile stuff.
Yeah. So most hearing parents, they don't learn sign language. They don't fucking do it. And the reason they don't do it, I guess, is laziness, or they think that their kids – well, they think their kids broken. Like, the mentality is like, we'll just make them hear. We'll take them – we'll make them – give them hearing aids. We'll teach them how to voice things. And it's like, that's only going to take you so far. You're stripping this kid from their culture. There's a deaf culture. There's a community. When you don't teach them sign language, what you've now done is fucked them, because hearing people aren't going to accept them, because they're going to have the accent. They're never going to fully be embraced. And deaf people aren't going to accept them because they don't know how to sign and they don't understand that culture. You are fucking your kid up. And then what they do is, instead of, so I'm so sorry, here we go. Instead of,
I'm interested.
Instead of learning American Sign Language, they create home signs. So just in their household, they just make up shit, which is the equivalent of saying goo goo gaga to your kid and sending them out into the world with just goo goo gaga. You're fucking your kid up. You're fucking you are destroying their lives. And on top of that, at a certain age, you lose the ability to, if you don't have a language, you lose the ability to kind of piece together high concepts.
Yeah.
And so imagine you're 10, you don't have a language, and in your head you don't have a language, but you're thinking, you're not stupid. You're thinking that you've imprisoned this kid in their head. They can't express themselves to anybody. They can't take in the new information in a reasonable way. And they're just in loops in their head all the time. It's fucking disgusting. So then to get to pedophilia, you ready?
It's disgusting. Like pedophilia.
Yes. Transitions.
Okay, can I take a shot in the dark here? Again, I'm going to take a football throw, because as I heard what you just described, and I think about it a little bit more, I think I can piece together a little bit, but again, I am going to need you to fill in the gaps here. Is there I wouldn't say large, but is there a pedophilic community because of that innate power dynamic barrier of communication? Because they're like, I'm the one getting close to you. It's like grooming. It's like, because they're one of the few people they can get close to, and because the deaf kid, right, can't really communicate that, like, this person's being a freaking weirdo, unlike other kids. They have the two, they have, again, it's like, all kids are dealing with a level of like, do I say anything? This is an adult and I'm supposed to respect any adult. But then on top of that, even if you do know this stuff is messed up, it's hard for you to communicate that person's being sketchy and explain how they're being sketchy without direct, clear communication. Mm-hmm. That's my only guess. And the pedophiles get like off on the power dynamic of like, they can't tell on me and they're still a little kid and I can manipulate them the way I want. I think I'm not a pedophile.
That's the best way to sound like a pedophile, by the way.
I know. I'm like, I don't know how to get out of that.
So I would say you're like, that's a good yes, and there's more. I would say yes plus. Okay. So pedophiles tend to go for the weakest.
like, not to just call a quick aside, I would like to express to you, as somebody who has just expressed that you don't like that everybody makes it into, like, tell me about the deaf community. Like, if you don't want to talk about it, we can cut and talk about it at any point.
I don't mind talking. So there's a difference between you wanting to understand the culture and get perspective versus you being like, how do you say fuck in sign language? Like, that's what normal, like, when I say I don't want to talk, I don't mind discussing this stuff.
This is, and I would agree with you. I totally understand that. But that's what I want to hear. It's like, because I've been one of the people who's like, you don't talk about doing sign language. And that always bothered me, because it is, as much as it's your job, we're Americans and jobs are like a good portion of our lives.
Yeah.
And so to not talk about it is kind of robbing people of a certain thing that you see and experience and deal with. And obviously there's a lot of stuff that's just innately built in. That's such a funny thing that I understand. I get it. And I have seen that with literally every language. Because no matter what language, everybody wants to know the cuss words of that language. At the same time, it's like, there's something to, even the way you just did it, where it's like, how do you say? Oh, he cut off. Well, we'll wait because his phone overheated. But yeah, this is essentially all I'm saying to Aaron, is that there's a lot of stuff that Aaron has experienced in his life that, while don't get me wrong, I don't want him to not talk about his childhood experiences. Those are also very fascinating. There's a lot of humor to be gained in the darkness there. There's also other things that have happened to him, things that are like equally as interesting, that I personally think is a gold mine and has a lot of funny potential in it. Like, I just, the amount of things I'm sure he's seen as an interpreter, funny as all get out. But, you know, and it's a new, like he said, it's like an experience that a lot of us don't get. Like, even as much as I will 100% judge those parents, because obviously I wouldn't do that. If I had a kid, I'd obviously learn that language. But at the same time, like, there are parents that, like, don't teach their kids Spanish, but only teach them English when they're bilingual. And I don't know, does that become the same thing? Is there a culture gap there? I don't know. But, you know, personally, I talk a lot of big game about, like, I want to learn language, but then I'm too lazy. Okay, welcome back.
All right, so pedophilia.
Yes.
And by the way, I know what you're saying about it's not that I don't mind talking about it. It's the way people talk to me about it. So fucking, and it's like, this is already a job. This is something I have to think about all day, and it's not fun for me. And when when people are like, put it on stage, it's like, I get the mentality, I'm going to do it regardless. But they don't understand, like, okay, you think I'm angry and sad about my life. Now you want me to talk about shit that I hate and isn't even connected to me on a personal level.
Yeah, yeah.
So get ready for some fucked up stuff.
Yeah, and it's also that, like, it's kind of that thing you described, right, where there's an – and it's not like, it's not coming from a positive place. It's kind of this condescending power thing. Like, it's an unseen power. They don't know that they're doing it because, again, people don't look at that community as a community that we look down on a little bit because it's so accepted. But
The amount of people, they're like, oh, you should do comedy in sign language. Fucking kill yourself. Don't say that to me. Please stop saying that to me. I'm not going to do it. It's not fun for me. Two, it doesn't translate. It does not translate. But I'll give you deaf comedy later. Oh, Zero, you want to hear about some stupid shit? Get ready for some deaf comedy.
Deaf comedy?
Not deaf comedy jam. Not deaf comedy jam. It's a whole other thing.
You ever see your girl with the big boobs and she'd be like, oh, snap.
So, pedophilia.
I don't feel good about that last joke. I want to put it on record. That was not, I could have done a way better parody of Def Jam, but, like, I just went to the first thing in my head. Anywho, pedophilia. We have 12 minutes, unless we're going to a second episode.
We might. Sorry, I'm trying to cool my phone down.
Smart.
Okay, so pedophilia. So, yeah, pedophiles tend to go for the weakest child. Who's weaker than the person who can't tell anybody what's going on? Mm-hmm. Now, this is usually with boys, from what I understand. When boys get molested, their response to that is to become the aggressor as they get older. Mm. So what ends up happening is a little deaf kid gets molested, can't do anything about it for years, gets older, then molests other little deaf kids. And then the cycle continues over and over again. I had to, and this was a while ago, so I think I'm safe in talking about this a little bit.
Okay.
I had to interpret for a guy who was a convicted pedophile. He's deaf guy.
He's okay. Convicted.
He, and by the way, I'm supposed to be impartial.
Yeah.
Like,
So
he's convicted. He's out. He's with his parole officer and yada, yada, yada. And his family. I'll leave it at his. What?
Yeah. I was about to say, like, how is he allowed near kids at all?
He's not. This was right after his parole. And he's talking with the parole officer and his family. His family, I think brother or mother or something's there. So I'm supposed to be there. And I was a newer interpreter. This was years ago. I was newer. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be there to interpret, right? That's my fucking job. You don't bring me into your bullshit, especially with family and pedophiles and legal stuff. Don't bring me into your bullshit. So I'm there just trying to interpret. What ends up happening is the hearing family and the parole officer will say things to me like, and I was new, so I didn't have the gumption to be like, no, we're not doing this shit. But they were like, don't tell him this. He doesn't need to worry about this. And then they would start talking, right?
Nah.
And then he would notice that, and then he would talk to me and try to explain how he's innocent and he didn't do anything. So he's like, and I can't tell you the story, but it's fucked up. It's fucked up. It has to do with children related to him.
Ah.
And so he's talking to me about how, like, here's what happened. I didn't do it. I'm innocent. You believe I'm innocent. I didn't do it. And he's already out of prison. It's done. I have nothing to do with this. So everybody is doing all of the pet peeves that I have about interpreting.
At the same time.
And the... some of the other stories I have to tell you, they're long, and a lot of it has to do with pedophilia. There's a lot of fucking pedophilia, a lot of racism, a lot of homophobia, a lot of evangelism, like really unhealthy. So what ends up happening is churches want to take in everyone they can. Churches that are fucked up prey on the weak. And who's fucking weaker?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Who's weaker than a deaf person who's probably been molested, who doesn't have a language, who doesn't talk to anybody? Of course they're going to get those people. Those people to the church, and then they get those fucked up thoughts downloaded into their brains, and then they pass that along. It's fucking disgusting. It's a cesspool. And and on top of that, the especially irritating thing is when hearing people say things like, oh, you're doing such a good thing. Oh, you're helping people. You're doing all this bullshit. And it's like, it's like if you really gave a fuck about deaf people and people with disabilities, then you would also do something. What you're saying is you want to live vicariously. You want to feel like you're giving me a compliment for something, and then you get to feel good. You selfish piece of shit. Like, it is wholly frustrating, and I know it's – unless I'm able to word all of this really well on stage, people aren't going to leave me alone about it. They're going to talk to me about it.
Yeah, because you're sitting on a can of worms is the issue. Is to break open the lid on, hey, there's some messed up stuff going on in this world that you don't exist in. Like, especially with the generation that is now, who's like, uber caring and like we really want to heal the world. Every time they hear there's like injustice, they're like, what, how do we get involved, what do we do? And like, that's a good thing on a lot of good levels. However, there's also a like not a real it's one of their flaws is the not understanding how there's a not traditional, there's a practicality. There's a practicality at work that has to exist for this to exist. In the same way that they'd be like, we got to do, like, they'd be like, we got to do something, but they don't care that Aaron, that's his job. And, like, they'll go and talk to somebody. And then the ladder of power will get down to you, and then you'll lose your job. Like, yeah. Because they're trying to get justice. And they also, again, like the vicarious thing you're talking about, it's also a fascinating thing to see, like, yo, I'm a part of my thing is that I can't. I am a conduit for all this dark, messed up stuff. And it sucks that I have to go home with that in my head. Yeah. But that's the price I pay for doing this job. At the same time, that's what the job entails. I can't sit here. The most you can do is the thing where you're like, no, I'm not going to not tell them that. That's the most you can do. But as far as all the other stuff, it's like, again, like you said, don't involve me in that. That's not me. Like,
you, I have more.
I'm sure. We have 6 minutes.
Okay. We might need to keep going.
Okay, then we'll roll it into a next episode. Real quick, in the last five, do you think we could squeeze in what you doing your show thing?
My street stand-up?
Yeah, street stand-up.
I figure that could just be a whole other episode we can bank.
Okay, then I guess we'll just wrap this one on that note, and then we'll roll into the next one.
Okay.
And all that stuff. So thank you for those of you that
popped in. No more death? You don't want to hear more death shit?
Oh, no, I definitely do. It's just we only have 5 minutes, and you said that could be its own thing. So might as well just put you here and then have you start brand new in the next one. So thank you for those of you who were in the chat while you were in the chat. Thank you for those of you who watched this whole episode on YouTube. For those of you who somehow happened upon this, welcome. This is the A to Z podcast. You can watch us on the Buddy System Comedy YouTube page. We put up an episode once a week, usually on Tuesday. At Aaron Chase 91 on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at @0_kranime. He has a TikTok. I have a TikTok. We both have. He has a podcast on CMM. You just want to listen to him talk his thoughts and comedy and his journey and different arts and mediums. He's also, aren't you about to start a podcast about movies or something?
Film. I'm so excited. Film favorites.
Yeah, so he's doing that. There's a lot of things on the docket, so keep your eyes peeled for all of those things. Again, thank you for being here, and we'll see you on the next episode. Salut!